Please remember this is an adults-only podcast and does contain some very sensual themes. So please only listen to this podcast if you are happy to explore your deepest sensual fantasies with me and are of a suitable age. Hi, it's Devlin, and welcome to another episode of Wild in Bed, your Sunday night destination for salacious stories, sexy excerpts, and good old-fashioned filthy fun. Now you know, if you want even deeper sensuous pleasure, you can know you can come and see me at wilddesires.com and download your own free, full-length, experiential erotica audio just for coming. And I'm having a week of menage over at Wild Desires, so you can get an extra special offer on my menage experiential erotica audios. So if you're not in bed already, why not? Get your butt in bed. We've got something extra special tonight. I'm going to be joined shortly by the recently crowned mistress of menage herself, Lacey Hightower. Now I'd say give her a round of applause, but I know your hands are otherwise engaged. So let's just welcome, all the way from Dallas, Texas, oh, the very sensuous, the very talented, Ms. Lacey Hightower.
Hey, Devlin. Thanks for asking me to be on your podcast. This is super cool. I'm excited. I'm a little bit nervous, too. So if I get tongue-tied, just bear with me.
Oh, don't worry about getting tongue-tied. You're amongst friends. I do it all the time, and no one seems to notice. I'm all curious about this. When you write a book, do you plot it all out from the start? Have all the details ready before you sit down and actually start typing? Or do you prefer to write chapter by chapter, letting the story evolve naturally? Maybe going back over the story and making any changes.
Oh, gosh. Well, I'm not going to lie. I am a super unorganized person when it comes to my writing. I've tried the whole plotting scenario and trying to be all neat and tidy, but honestly, that just doesn't work well for me. I do, however, make a lot of notes, generally either on my phone or I jot things down in a notebook. Then I tend to just sit down and start typing. And as for the research, I'll sometimes stop during a chapter and look things up and go back and add and edit and that kind of thing. But I'm notorious for going back later and doing more in-depth research than scrapping a whole chapter or five, and starting from fresh. Again, I'm not the most organized person in the world.
You are extremely well known for writing incredibly emotive erotic romance. So do you feel that style of writing actually helps bring out the emotion of the story, the passion? Perhaps it's less restrictive because it's not so set out in stone from the start.
I do. Of course, you got to know my stories are erotic romance. They're not just straight up erotica. So for me, it's important to have those characters' emotions and thoughts and things come out throughout the entire story.
With the Sugar and Sin series, you seem to have change the approach in writing to what might be called menage relationships. Previously, before Sugar and Sin, many of the menage stories, certainly the ones I read, were focused on how three people can have sex, the different positions, the different places. Whereas with sugar and sin, the whole thing is much more focused on the depth of their emotional relationship. Of course, the hot sex is a natural produce of that. Is that just something that happened naturally, or was it intentional when you wrote it? How did you do it?
Well, you have to understand that this entire series was written from my experiences in my childhood. The characters are based on true-to-life friends and the things that we did in our little small town to kill time. We didn't have a movie theater, bowling alley, a mall. We had nothing to do. So we had to kind of improvise. But don't get me wrong, the bisexuality and the sex and all that good stuff is totally, totally fiction. But yes, I did. I wanted the emotions to be a big part of the story. Just as with all my other books, I like to show the characters' feelings and such. I guess mainly because I like that in a book.
What I particularly love about the series, and in particular Call Me Sweetheart, is the progression of the relationship between the three characters. It evolves, it grows, as it naturally would in the real world. Jason has certainly come more to the fore in Call Me Sweetheart, particularly with given developments in his life. I don't want to give too much away for anybody that's not actually read it. Why haven't you read it? You should do. They're good books. And Keith, while he is still dominant, he seems to be very much more self-aware, more willing to show his emotions, a little more exposed. Did you intend to bring Jason more to the fore and show his dominant side?
Not sure I really intended it to turn out that way. I think it just sort of progressed that direction. But from the beginning, Jason always had that little bit of a dominant side hidden inside him. In book one, he stresses that to Keith. But of course, you know, Keith being Keith, refuses. But by the time book two comes around, all Keith knows is that he's desperate for Jen to be happy, for their girls to be happy, and that he needs and wants Jason in their lives.
Now, as an extra special treat this Sunday night, I've managed to twist Lacey's arm into narrating part of a scene from Call Me Sweetheart, her latest menage release. Now, it is a part narration. She wouldn't give in all the way. So, to make it a little easier, I'll start with the first part, and she will take over for Jen's part. So while she's just getting ready, take a deep breath and relax. Just let go of all the stress of the week. This is your time to relax and enjoy sensuous, filthy pleasure. Jason. Well, look who the fucking cat drug in. Keith stares straight ahead at the television screen, with a tumbler of what's most likely scotch twirling between his fingers. I see you've just fucked my wife, he adds maliciously, while inhaling a long breath of air. I can smell it from here. Keith. Jen's voice is sweet with a hint of worry. She leans over and kisses the top of his head. He's here, babe, she says, all soft and fuzzy. For you, for us. She starts rubbing his shoulders, and a whole slew of contradictory feelings rise up my chest. Jealousy, deception, arousal. Is he really? Keith arches an eyebrow and looks at me with such hurt and envy that I can hardly keep myself from dropping to my knees, bowing my head, caressing the pads of his feet and begging for his mercy. I know the way he feels, all too well. I've felt the same way for half my life. Like you said before, Keith, I can't stay away. I feel a second stab of jealousy as I watch Jen massage his shoulders and press her lips against his head again. I love you, Keith. I think I loved you the minute I laid eyes on you. And I love Jen. I always will. But I've changed. I'm not the same man I was before. And how exactly have you changed, Jason? You know how. I need you more than ever. Christ, I just need you. Keith doesn't speak another word for a few hellish seconds. And neither do I. Maybe this is it. Maybe this is really the end. Fuck. Maybe it's best. With the vein in his forehead popping, and my insides a sea of nerves, he finally breaks the agonizing silence. Just how badly do you need me? Enough to stand by and watch me suck the cum, your cum, from my wife's pussy. Enough to watch her ride my cock until she screams my name. Or fuck her ass until I fucked every last drop of you out of her. Let's hear it. Just how bad do you really want me, boy? Consumed and mesmerized by the exquisiteness of his influence, when his heavy gaze slides down my body, I can't help myself. I walk his way, driven and unfaltering, and take the empty glass from his hand. And I pull his body from the sofa and against mine. I push my lips to his. I stroke deep, tasting mint, scotch, male, and a hint of the woman we both love. And relish in a kiss filled with endless years of undying love and dedication, shared between two men that hasn't subsided in close to 20 years. My cock swells. My body is dying for his touch, aching for his control. I'm so fucking desperate and hungry that I'm borderline miserable. I press closer and sway into him with an insatiable raw urgency to take anything he offers, any way he needs, anywhere he wants. His hands tear through my hair and a growl rises up his throat. This kiss isn't filled with passion, nor is it a kiss of affection. This is a building storm, its power and rage, its discipline. It's a man kissing away every last trace of his wife's honeyed essence. Before I think twice, I drop to the ground and kiss the toe of his boot, then look up at him helplessly. I stay completely still for a few seconds, with my heart thundering through my chest. Please, Keith, I say without the slightest qualm, tonight is about you. Let me be your boy, and you my master. Please, when I expect him to tuck his zipper down, force my head forward so he can ram his erect cock down my throat, with no compassion, no mercy or tenderness, and fuck into my mouth until I'm choking on his release. He does none of these things. Stand up, boy. He commands with his eyes black as a starless night, his jaw tweaking, and his cock deliciously erect. Tonight is going to be you naked, motionless, silent, as you watch me suck on my wife's pussy until every remnant of you is gone. Then you're going to watch her ride my cock, perhaps with a nice medium-sized plug in her ass, until she screams and pleads with me to let her come. You still want it, boy? If not, you know where the front door is. I'm shaking, the back of my eyelids burn and my belly is churning with nausea, at thoughts of how rough and crude Keith can be when he's in this frame of mind. I rise to my feet, look him straight in the eye, and reach for his shoulder that's tight and full of tension. Don't fucking hurt her. I know how you're feeling right now. God knows I do. Why not take your resentfulness out on me and spare her? With eyes angry and swirling like building dark storm clouds, he takes my hand from his shoulder and huffs a laugh. My offer to submit to his sadistic mood is only a surge of fuel to an already raging fire. Bedroom, now, naked, on your knees.
Jen, my heart races in my chest. Just as he's demanded, I've refrained from a shower or cleaning any part of my body. I'm on the bed, vulnerable and exposed. My legs are spread wide open, my arms at my sides. Jason is naked, kneeling on the floor, silent. We're both still and don't dare utter a word as we await Keith's instructions. Keith is pacing the floor, wordless, breathing hard, and rolling his neck around to crack the tension. Minutes pass with nothing but the sound of his boots on the wood until finally he leans over and tips my chin up. Get up and undress me. Anger flickers in his eyes, an anger like never before. Not when the museum burned to the ground. Not when arson was mentioned. Not even after I left the ranch without Rock to rush to the park to see Jason. This is an anger brought on from pain, from frustration, from jealousy, from love and years of hurt and loss. My whole body trembles as I carefully and slowly begin taking off his clothing while he watches me with a searing vigor. After I've eased his shirt off and removed his boots and jeans, I suck in a quick breath and whisper the words I need him to hear. The words I need him to know. I love you. I'll always love you. I brush a hand over his cheek as his eyes glisten down at me like he's searching out my soul. Don't speak another word unless I say, he interrupts. Then he pulls me over his lap and insists I count as his rough hand lands against my ass so hard, so brutally, that my vision blurs. With a yelp that sounds more like a painful screech, my body lifts at a second strong bite of his palm that feels like spiked, raw leather against my flesh. It hurts. Shit, it hurts. It feels like invisible searing flames rushing through my belly, my veins, and all the way through my eyeballs. Count, damn it. 2. I whimper, squeezing my eyes shut tight. Tears spill down my face and off the tip of my nose as I count 10 fast but callous strikes on both the top of my butt and the sensitive area just where my ass leads to my thighs. Every inch of my body feels like boiling fire when he ends the brutal strikes of punishment and plunges 2 fingers inside my sex, touching that special velvety spot with beautiful perfection. My body arches, my toes curl at the invasion, and my muscles constrict as everything between my legs and in my core tightens. He pulls his fingers from me and orders me back onto the bed with his tone rough and raspy. My gaze darts toward Jason, still kneeling, still voiceless, still motionless, so beautifully naked and so perfectly obedient. His head is bowed, his body still, his chin against his chest and his hands behind him. I can't help but wonder what he's feeling, what he's thinking, if he blames me for what's happening, or if he's silently thanking me. So so fucking wet. So pink and swollen. Keith tips my chin and pushes his finger through my lips, which taste like semen and my arousal. Once he's confident that I've sucked off every drop, he moves down in between my legs, lifts my ankles over his shoulders, and buries his mouth over my mound. "You're still mine, damn it," he says with a tick in his jaw and another flash of pain in his expression. "You can love him. You can fuck him. You can come to our bed with his seed dripping down your thighs. But you will always be my wife. You will always sign your name as a Riker." Half-formed regret swims in my head. Even in his full dominant mode, he's so vulnerable right now. So racked with resentment. So full of love, emotion, and need. With his eyes blazing, he starts sucking and licking, his tongue spearing inside me ravenously as his hands twist and hoist my hips against his face. My sex is on fire. Keith. I move my hands all over his shoulders and through his hair while my hips arch and grind against his wicked lips. He stares up at me with eyes cold and angry while my body churns and writhes and he continues what he's begun, sucking away every last drop of Jason. "Did his lips feel this good on your cunt?" he says with a growl against my sex. "Did you whimper his name? Did you come on his fucking mouth?" When I hear a guttural groan from Jason, it hits me hard and I fall apart. My hands fist through Keith's hair with my body lifting, convulsing, and spiraling into a long orgasm that brings another rush of hot tears to my eyes. "Did she come like that for you, boy? Did your mouth bring her to tears?" Jason looks up, frowns, then squeezes his eyes shut. All which makes my belly ball up with even more emotion. Keith pulls himself up onto the bed with his head against the headboard, his face wet and glistening with my release. When I'm half expecting him to reach for the lube and butt plug on the table beside him, he does neither. Instead, he takes his swollen cock and moves his fingertips up and down the satiny length. "Crawl on top and ride me, wife. And you, boy, stand up so you can get a good look at the way her pussy hugs my cock." I straddle Keith and squeeze my eyes shut when he sinks his hard fingertips into the burning flesh of my ass and rams his stiff erection inside me in one hard thrust. "Christ," Jason says with a roughened voice. "Look at me," Keith says with a tone equally harsh. "Show me your fucking eyes and tell me if his cock was this hard, if he felt this deep, this hot, this fucking in love with you. Then I want you to tell me you're always mine, even when you fuck him, even when his lips are on your pussy, even when he spills inside you." His eyes are so full of torment, so full of passion and love, that I do what I think he needs me to do, and what I'm dying to do. I lean over and whisper, "Shh." Then I seal my mouth against his, push my tongue through his teeth, and kiss deep into his mouth. I rock onto his body gently, then urgently, slowly, then rapidly. And make passionate love to my husband. Hunger surges through me when I feel two warm hands running through my hair. One is Keith's, the other Jason's. Emotion stings at my eyes. My chest is tight and my heart is beating hard, frantically, for not one, but two men that I know I'll never survive without. "Come for me, my beautiful, sweet angel." Keith's eyes are like magnets on mine and no longer haunted as he watches tremors of bliss start rippling through me. Tears of love, emotion, and respect slide down my cheek and off my chin.
That's it. Just like that, sweetheart. You are so beautiful. Jason strokes the tears from my cheek, his voice passionate, his eyes pinned against mine. Come for your husband, Jen. Show him how good he feels inside you. I love these two men with all that I am. And right now, everything is perfect. Nothing else matters, as long as we're together. Both watch me with hunger, desperation, and love in their gaze as I cry out his name and come on top of my husband. When I feel him emptying into me, he pulls me against his chest and holds me there. The three of us are drained, physically and emotionally. I wrap one arm around Keith's neck and thread the fingertips of my other hand through Jason's. I'm so completely in love with these men. My heart is so swollen for the both of them. I love you, Keith. I love you, Jason. Please, I'm begging. Please let us be where we need to be, doing what we all three need to be doing. I swallow hard and reach for both their hands and thread them together. No more jealousy. No more resentment. Stay here tonight, Jason. Share our bed. Share our bodies. Wake up with the two people who love you most. No. Tears wet Jason's eyes, and he releases Keith's hand, takes a step back, and starts to reach for his clothes. Keith slides from the bed and glides his hand down the curve of Jason's abdomen, my heart breaking all over again. Stay. He takes Jason's silky erection and moves his hands slowly up and down, which earns him a groan from Jason and has a slight pinch of hope rushing through my mind. Dark need and lust are so thick in the air that I know we all feel it. Come back to us. Keith drops his lips against Jason's and kisses him slowly, provocatively and deep. Then breaks the kiss with his eyes glittering hotly. My God, I'll do anything. No, Keith, not until I work some things out with my family, and not until the three of us agree to tell my daughter who her real father is. Keith turns my direction, and I give him a gentle nod. For several seconds, his gaze doesn't leave mine. And then he turns back toward Jason. Okay, goddammit, have it your way. We'll work out anything you need, in any way you deem best. The three of us will talk to the girls, and I'll even see your parents with you if you prefer. There's a tremble in Keith's tone when he adds, just don't go. Not yet. Not tonight. My God, don't leave me. Keith's grip tightens on Jason's cock and his free hand wanders behind his hips. Jason's eyes darken, then slide shut. Then they're kissing again, slowly, passionately, hungrily. I quietly start to roll out of bed when Keith stops me. Don't go, sugar. He turns back toward Jason. Do you want her to go? Jason responds with a soft no, then turns around, spreads his legs, and places his hands against the wall. I reach for the unopened container of lube and walk toward them. Keith has an arm wrapped around Jason's chest where he's teasing the bar through his nipple while his free hand rims the opening of his anus. I flip open the tube, then gently coat Keith's hardening erection. I love you, I whisper in his ear. Then I step aside and listen to the two men I love groan in satisfaction as Keith guides the crown of his satiny cock into his lover of nearly two decades.
Thank you, Lacey, for that. That was fantastic. It wasn't so bad, was it?
No, not bad at all. Other than cringing at my heavy southern accent, it was a lot of fun.
I think you did very well considering that was your first on-air narration. But I do believe you have an audiobook in production as we speak.
I do, actually. This is my first time at attempting an audiobook, so it's been a bit of a learning curve, but I'm super excited. Listening on audio just makes the story seem so much more real. I think it's going to be really awesome.
That'll be something special for everyone to listen to. So, I'd like to thank Lacey again for joining us. It really has been a lot of fun. Very different. And if you feel like enjoying a dark menage erotic romance, you can go ahead and grab your copy of Call Me Sugar or Call Me Sweetheart by visiting your favorite online bookstore, where you know it's so easy to follow the links in this episode's notes. Now, is as if that wasn't enough, we have another filthy excerpt next week. So I look forward to joining you in bed again next Sunday, when we can have even more sensuous pleasure. Until then, and always with your pleasure in mind, this is Devlin Wild, wishing you salacious dreams. Now, as you have enjoyed this show this evening, you can go ahead and subscribe to my podcast so you don't miss another salacious episode. And you know you can go ahead and visit me at wilddesires.com and grab your own free experiential erotic story just for coming.